We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to another edition of the PHNX Facts Podcast, right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla. Of course, I'm occasionally known as your mayor of PHNX. This is my vice mayor and your thunderstick, the one and only Jesse Friedman. Jesse, the MLB regular season is here. Well, not here, but in Seoul, Korea, but it's still here as in time-wise. And the first game of the season between the Dodgers and the Padres has also already delivered some incredible moments, some wild things happening, and once again, confirmation that the baseball gods love the Dodgers during the regular season and only during the regular season.
And no surprises there, right?
I mean, it was a great game. I was like, hey, how fun would it be if the Padres beat the Dodgers in this first game? I know it's not a big deal. I know it doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of a 162-game season. These two teams still have to come back from playing this two-game series and then play more spring training games. It's so wild, right? Their schedule. I hope this screws up both of these teams' schedules and their years the same way it did to the Diamondbacks when they went to Australia. But the Padres did do a great job of holding the Dodgers up until late in the game when one of the craziest things I have ever seen happened to poor Jake Cronenworth. First, we have to get to the fact that John Morosi did curse the Dodgers because he tweeted this out. This was after the seventh inning. He said the Padres have allowed one unearned run through seven innings. San Diego is six outs away from winning the first game of the MLB season. It's like he was actively trying to do it, right? He was trying to change the course of history with that tweet, right?
I honestly can't believe it's real.
It's a real thing that he really said. Yes.
Of all the tweets that we like, you know, make jokes like this about over the years, that's about as egregious as they come.
It's
which
one of
I say that as someone who really likes JP Morosi. I got to know him throughout the playoffs. He's a great guy. But that's a pretty funny tweet. Did you stay up and watch this baseball game?
I did. I did miss the beginning of it because I had a hard time waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, did we need to do that? Could it have not been a day game in Seoul so that then it would have been on here in a reasonable time? I had a real hard time getting up. So I woke up and I went back to sleep and I woke up. I was DVRing it, so if anything crazy happened, I could see it. But it maintained, you know, the close game for everything up until, you know, once that eighth inning came around. And once it started happening, I knew it was going to happen. They had the bases loaded with no outs. They got out of it. It seemed like they were going to get out of it. You know, they gave up one run. It tied the game. Padres had that one run lead up to that point. But you just knew. You just knew watching it. You were like, oh, here it is. Eighth inning. Bases loaded. No outs. The Dodgers are just going to put it on the Padres. And they did. But in a way, I couldn't have possibly imagined? A tailor-made double play ball to Jake Cronenworth, one of the best infielders in baseball.
He's all right. He's all right. Let's not go too crazy with Jake Cronenworth's defense.
The poor guy. He played the ball exactly as he should, and the ball busts through his glove, Jesse. I couldn't believe that this was something that actually happened. I really couldn't. I mean, I know this has happened in baseball. I doubt that it's, you know, the last time we'll even see an equipment failure happen this season. They charged Cronenworth with an error for this. That's what's the most egregious. His glove deserves the goddamn error, not Jake. Jake did nothing wrong. He was about to turn a double play that was going to end the inning and keep the game tied at two.
That would be amazing if equipment could, like, get charged for errors, like a broken bat.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, honestly, with how imperfect error is as a statistic, like, Jesse, that would be an Jesse improvement. I'm on board with
he
that.
Hates errors so much.
I hate errors these days.
Rightfully
they
so.
They don't give them.
Yeah.
That's also true. We've seen an enormous shift in what is apparently everything is a hit in 2024 Major League Baseball. But I made it until it was 2-1. Padres had a 2-1 lead when I stopped watching this game and I went to sleep. I eventually ran out of steam. My planned approach was to sleep for a couple of hours before the game started, wake up at 3 a.m., take in a few innings. I wound up not actually going to sleep at all at 1 a.m. And I just stayed up until 3 in the morning, which turned into staying up until 5 in the morning. Yes. And then I just completely ran out of steam. But I went to sleep. It was 2-1 Padres. And I was not at all surprised when I woke up to find that the Padres had lost this game 5-2.
Not at all. And then Shohei got his first hit. And of course,
I did see the first hit.
We have all sorts of stuff to talk about when it comes to Shohei. But I want to talk about Mad Dog before we do that, because Mad Dog Russo was on my television this morning. It wasn't a great way to start my day. It was actually quite infuriating, because after they had discussed that the ball broke through Cronenworth's glove, this man had the audacity to say, Cronenworth's got to make that play. I don't think he even knew he said those words out loud. I think it was just an automatic queued up thing in his brain that was going to play no matter what. He was going to say it at some point. But Cronenworth's got to make that play. Dog, his glove broke. The ball went through his glove. What do you mean Jake's got to make that play? Like, that's such a crazy thing to say. Like, it's a crazy thing to happen. I don't understand how the Dodgers have the baseball gods on their side, considering they have everything else on their side going for them. But maybe not. Maybe Jesse, what we just saw as breaking news recently is a little bit of, like, life adjusting and correcting itself, because boy, do we have a breaking story about Shohei Ohtani that I'm sure a lot of you have heard about. I do just want to go back and say, Jesse, that if that would happen to Cronenworth happened to me, I would quit the game of baseball. I would cry on field.
Yeah.
Jesse, I would break my PlayStation 5 controller into a million pieces if on the game I went to field a ball and the ball broke through my glove in the game as, like, a thing that can happen in the game. I'll never play that game again. Never, as long as I live.
My dad used to, like, think it was hilarious how, like, umpires would make, like, the wrong call in MLB The Show sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It's built in. It's realistic.
Oh, it wants to be realistic, right? Don't even get me started on that, because the new pitching mechanics, maybe it's because I'm playing on veteran, thanks to you monsters. But I'm having a hard time keeping my pitches in the strike zone. And I'll say I'm a very good pitcher when it comes to MLB The Show, this new game out there, but anyway,
very good. It's all relative. I will say I'm shocked that you haven't started making conspiracy theories about the Dodgers, like, messing with Jake Cronenworth's glove, doing some kind of a switch or something between innings.
All I'm saying is, if you trace the paper trail on the manufacturer of that glove, I have a feeling that the Dodgers are a major investor in that company, and there was foul play. And I'm ready to throw conspiracy theories out there about everything, because, as we alluded to, things only get weirder for the Dodgers than that whole game. This Shohei Ohtani situation is as crazy as you can imagine, and also not, because Shohei Ohtani comes off as being an incredibly wholesome guy who is very nice And
are you implying that it's all a fraud? No, is that what you're going with this?
I could imply that. I could absolutely say that. I could say that
he comes across as a nice guy, but just wait till you see.
Non-zero chance. There's a non-zero chance. I'm not saying there's a big chance. I'm just saying there's a non-zero chance that Shohei Ohtani has a gambling problem.
100%. Why is that a crazy thing to say?
It's because,
because Shohei Ohtani's our sweet little baby angel and he can't do anything wrong.
Yes.
Jesse, stop it. Dude.
But it's real life, Dodgers, right? And
he's not the good guy we thought he was.
Look, I've come to learn in life that don't meet your heroes thing as much as it's just like sometimes in life when things seem too good to be true, they might be. Now, for those of you that don't know what we're making wild, reckless allegations about, let's go ahead and talk about it. The Los Angeles Dodgers have fired Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. He was fired Wednesday afternoon after questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Shohei Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation, which has set off an entire series of events. That bookmaker was in California, where it is illegal to have, to gamble on sports. You cannot have a DraftKings account. You can't do any of that in California. So in order to participate in those events, old school bookies, right? We go back to bookmakers and it's illegal. And of course, this bookmaker was essentially investigated by the feds, and it was traced back based on checks that that they had received back to Shohei Ohtani. And that's kind of what unraveled this whole situation. So according to multiple sources who spoke to ESPN, this ESPN article is incredibly comprehensive. And it's very weird, too, because it's part of the story kind of involves the ESPN interview for this article, right? So Mizuhara incurred the gambling debts to this bookmaker operation, and it was a lot. He basically lost what sounded like $1 million roughly, and then tried to bet his way out of that, which is never a good situation for anybody, right? I mean, that's the minute that you're there, that's bad news, right? But yeah. Then it gets stranger, though, because of course the connection here and Mizuhara kind of taking the fall, or at least being the one accused of the actual crime, even though the checks are coming from Shohei Ohtani, kind of made sense. A spokesperson for Ohtani set up an interview between Ipe and essentially the ESPN.
ESPN, writer, a 90-minute interview.
90-minute interview, which he kind of confessed everything. He said everything was his fault. And in the interview,
said that Shohei was not the one doing any of the sports betting. It was all him. He said that he did not bet on baseball. That is something that I guess MLB interpreters are not allowed to do. He was betting on other sports, which presumably would be allowed unless you're doing it in a state that does not allow such things, which was the situation here.
Right. And so he basically said that Ohtani bailed him out, that he knew about it, and he gave him the money in order for him to pay off his debt. There is a statement about how he would promise not to gamble anymore as part of the agreement, would also agree to pay Ohtani back. Something wild that was discussed in this article, Jesse, is that this man was making, as an interpreter for a baseball team, $300,000 to $500,000 annually. And then he still needs to essentially not, like, this is, it's just crazy. That's
he owes $1 million in gambling debt.
Like, I get it, but God damn it, I didn't know interpreters made this much money. I should have stuck to Spanish. Yeah. I really feel like I made a mistake in career choices here. But getting back to this, obviously, the weird part here is that then after he gave this interview, everything changed the following day, which is today, right? So today, ESPN was contacted by the same representative that set up the interview and was told that they disavowed anything that he said yesterday,
right,
even though it seemed like the spokesperson corroborated the story the day before. And now Shohei Ohtani did not know anything about this at all, and his lawyers started calling it massive theft, essentially, right? And this is huge because This man was not just an interpreter for Shohei, but a friend, a really close friend.
Yeah. And he's that's what basically makes paid to follow Shohei wherever he goes. And that's been the case since Shohei came into the league back in 2018 with the Angels. Ipe has been there from the very beginning. And yeah, he's not just an interpreter. He there's stuff in here about him like carrying Otani's water bottle, and they go over scouting reports before games together, right, and whatnot. So this is a really, really big deal that Ipe is no longer in the picture. Like, Ipe has almost become a baseball celebrity in his own right, yeah, because he's the interpreter.
We watched an interview with him just before this.
Yeah, yeah. He's an interpreter for the most famous baseball player, you know, that exists right now. So that part of it is a big deal. I know some people were like, Otani and his contract, he had something about if certain Dodgers personnel, yeah, were no longer in place, he could opt out. Ipe was not one of those people.
Andrew Friedman, right?
Yeah, Andrew Friedman. I think there are a few other people. Yeah. Ipe, at least from what I've seen, not one of those people. So I think we can put that to bed. And frankly, even if Ipe had been on that list, people should understand that
circumstances can change because it's a voluntary thing.
Exactly.
Not
exactly.
Shohei trying to escape his billion-dollar contract.
It's not that Otani deeply wants out and he's simply looking for an excuse to do so. It is that there are certain provisions where if he decided he wanted to opt out, he could if certain people left the organization. Absolutely. But yes, Ipe, not one of those people.
And I don't think that this honestly has anything to do with Shohei gambling. I think the story that was told yesterday was probably the truth, and I think the alteration today was due to the fact that there are a lot of complications with them admitting that Otani knew about this. And Tim said it in the chat, but Tim said the problem here is this. Did Shohei know and initiate the payment? It came from his bank account. Then he retracted that, and that's what Shohei claimed fraud and terminated him. That is wire fraud, and in a wire fraud situation, Shohei would be complicit if he knew about it and didn't have the money stolen from him. I think if there's any fall guy situation here, it's the changing of the story that Ipe did so that he assumes full responsibility for it, with Shohei being able to essentially not have any involvement in this at all. Long term, this will probably just go away. And essentially, the man who was terminated is the one that's going to suffer the repercussions for this. But it's an interesting thing because, of course, wire fraud being a crime does impact Shohei Ohtani, and that's not something necessarily he can just maybe buy his way out of. That could be huge and a huge impact on his career, right? But this whole situation really sucks if you're a Dodgers fan, and if you're not, that's all I'll say. But we do want the Dodgers to be taken down a peg, and sometimes life finds a way. And that's maybe what this situation might be a little bit. I don't know. Right now, the Dodgers have a lot of pressure on them with coming back from this Seoul series and trying, like I said earlier, to get back to spring training, trying to have a regular season from that point on. And this is definitely a huge problem for the organization and for Shohei.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not a great look. We'll see how this thing resolves. I don't have a super hardcore take on it right now, I guess. I'm not really buying into the narrative that Ipe is the fall guy for Otani having like these gambling addictions or whatever. I don't think that's true.
Who knows?
Derek is saying there's a non-zero chance.
Let's just be honest about this. If Tatis or somebody like that was caught in this exact same scenario, every single fucking person would say
1,000%
he was involved in it. It's just because Otani's this lovable guy that everyone thinks can do no wrong.
But to be fair,
you can laugh all you want, Jesse, but that's the goddamn truth.
He's right. It's all based on reputation at times, whether how much someone's going to believe that you were involved or not.
There is no evidence that has been presented that Shohei Ohtani is guilty of anything.
No. But it's the narrative that's going around on social media and such about this, especially with the change of the story. That's why I said, I personally just believe the change of the story is to the fact that there are still crimes attached to wire fraud. Tim hit the nail on the head with that. And that Shohei could still be implicated as being complicit in the situation and charged with a crime should that happen, right? Like, should a wire fraud charge? Maybe maybe the prosecutor's a Giants fan, Jesse. I'm just saying, maybe you never know where people's allegiances are.
That would be huge.
You know, I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
Yeah, at least said he'll be just deferring the wire fraud charge. Oh, God. She's fucking nailed it. Let's go.
Elise never misses.
She has not missed one time.
No, she has never missed. Not a single time. Of course, make sure you don't miss out on checking out Circle K. I know, of course, some of these hot takes require a cold, cold drink to wash them away. You can do that at America's Thirst Stop. You can also join their Inner Circle program for free by downloading the Circle K app today. Terms and conditions apply at participating locations. Visit CircleK.com for details. But if you do, you will get 25 cents off per gallon on your first five gas fill-ups. You'll also save 3 cents off per gallon every day after that. You'll have a bevy of coupons in the app, as well as a buy five, get a sixth one free on a selection of Circle K products like pizza, coffee, and those ice cold fountain drinks. So make sure to check out Circle K today. You know there's one by you right now. Let's see here. We also have Arizona Lottery, which, as you guys know, they have been really doing a great job of trying to get us out while this weather is beautiful here in Arizona and to experience some wonderful adventures here in the state with their Arizona Adventure promotion. Right now, you can get down by playing with their Arizona Adventure lottery tickets featuring three iconic landscapes, or you can check in at destination coordinates on their website, geolocate adventures at 10 destinations across the state from Flagstaff to Yuma. So don't miss out on that. You can also enter tickets online for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. The Arizona Lottery says proceeds from ticket sales support environmental conservation, among other important initiatives across the state. The Arizona Lottery is not just about playing games and winning prizes. It is also about giving back to the state and its communities. Visit azadventure.com for more information on how you can take an adventure for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes.
You remember at Gerald's wedding when they handed us free Arizona Lottery cards?
I do. Gerald's wedding was sponsored by Arizona Lottery, basically, yes.
The most incredible wedding ceremony gift you can give to the people.
It really was. It was so exciting to sit down and have an Arizona Lottery ticket with a single penny in the little envelope.
Yeah, the pennies were in the envelope.
They had everything. They thought of it.
Gerald and Amy thought of everything.
Was incredible, by the way. Also, I want to say this. I really enjoyed hanging out with my PHNX folks, right? I like that. I liked that we made it a company event. Jesse wonderfully drove me all the way home, which, as you know, is in South Anthem. It's very far away from his house. So God bless him. And we won't talk about Damon's night, will we, Damon?
No comment.
No comment. But we are going to get into our spring training updates presented by Factor Meal Kits. So head to factormeals.com/PHNXDBacks50 and use code PHNXDBacks50 to get 50% off. And I need me a Factor Meal right now because I'm hungry and these guys got food that's not good for you out there and it smells great, but I want the Factor meals that are good for you and also smell great and are delicious. So I need to get one of those out of the freezer, but in the meantime, or refrigerator, they're never frozen, by the way. We got updates, not good updates, not great updates, but maybe
not terrible updates.
Not terrible. Maybe things weren't as bad as we thought they were going to be because Eduardo Rodriguez, as many of you know, exited yesterday's game versus the Cubs with, it was left lat tightness.
Left lat tightness.
That's like, yes, up in here?
Yeah, it's
like here?
It's huge, man. Like the lat is like your whole torso, yeah, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
That's not actually
it's like
true.
A big
but
muscle all in here.
Yeah, yeah. It can be more shoulder or it can be more back. And we were told this is more of the back area for Eduardo Rodriguez, which feels like a good sign. Corbin Martin, he had a lat tendon tear last year. That's what he needed season ending surgery for. That was more in the shoulder area and seems to be far more significant than what Eduardo Rodriguez dealt with yesterday. But yeah, the Diamondbacks continue to provide very few specifics on Erod's injury. We still don't know all that much. But here's the latest from Torrey Lovello at spring training earlier today.
Still a left lat tightness. He, you know, tiny bit of discomfort, tried to recreate that feeling. We could, but we feel good about him speaking up when he did, and we feel like we dodged a bullet. We have discussed imaging. It hasn't happened yet, so I'll keep you posted if it does happen. But I was next to him when he was getting examined, and he seemed to be in good spirits. and the medical staff was encouraged by what they got.
It's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, sort of.
Kinda.
So like, he says, I think we dodged a bullet, which is, I mean, that phrasing we often hear with contusions and things that are obviously very minor. That's sort of Tory's go-to phrase in those situations. That's not, this doesn't strike me as being, I don't know. I you can hear maybe a little more concern in Tory's voice here than like when Christian Walker had a contusion and it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, well, they were just glad that his hand wasn't broken in that case, yeah, right? That was right, a little different. Right. This is one of those situations where if it's, it can be lat tightness, but then it could be a lat strain, which is kind of right. Like a sprain, right? So then you have degrees of it, right? So
yeah,
you have
there's like
first
grade,
degree or grade,
mild,
first grade.
And
yeah.
I don't know what the scale terminology is there.
But it can go from literally something that you miss a week or two for a mild one versus a grade three, which would require surgery potentially.
Yeah,
so,
which I think is roughly what Corbin Martin had last year, something along those lines.
Right.
Certainly had surgery.
And that's kind of what Tory's talking about here, where you maybe talking about dodging that bullet, right? Because if it's a variable degree or a variable grade, then if it's a minor grade, that at least means that surgery and everything can be avoided.
Yeah, that is a very good point. The fact that Tory said there still has not been imaging done, it doesn't mean imaging will not be done, but as of this afternoon, imaging had not been done. And that is a good sign in and of itself. Like if there was real reason for concern here, the D-backs probably wouldn't hesitate and would just go ahead and do that. Erod was checked out by the medical staff earlier today. You heard Tory there say that he felt fairly good. The medical staff was encouraged by what they found. That was the way that Tory worded it.
I like that.
So I think in terms of like a big extended absence, you feel pretty good at this point that that's not going to happen. But on the flip side, I don't know if Erod is going to be ready for opening day. That, I think, is still to be determined. And we actually have another clip of Tory Lovello talking about that very thing.
I'm going to remain optimistic that he can be, yes. But that's not said with a lot of certainty. It's not 100%. And I'm walking the fence. I try to give you guys definitive answers where I can. But he's still being evaluated. But today was a very encouraging sign. He came in and felt good.
Felt good enough.
Felt good enough. Yeah, a little caveat at the end. We're just not getting a ton of specifics here. And, you know, you hear Tory say there, I'm going to remain optimistic that he could be ready for opening day. But I don't think that's really a guarantee.
It's like what he said about Randall Grichuk, and we know how that's going, right?
Yeah, Randall Grichuk also just kind of been in limbo here for a while, still not, you know, running the bases at full strength. So, I at this point would be maybe a little surprised if Eduardo Rodriguez was ready for opening day. That's not based on anything concrete we've heard. That's just kind of my sense of the situation. I don't think Eduardo Rodriguez is going to miss like 3 or 4 months or something like that. I think you've avoided those worst case scenarios, and that is obviously a very good thing.
Well, how does that impact the fifth starter competition? Because obviously we know who the three guys are still involved. Now, does this open up the competition to two of those three guys instead? Are we seeing Tommy Henry and Ryan Nelson both potentially make the opening day starting rotation at least until he's good? Or do you think that won't be needed?
Somebody's got to start. The extra starting pitcher, right?
Right.
So yeah, I think that is probably the most likely scenario, is that you would see two out of those three guys, Nelson, Henry, and Jarvis, making the team. Certainly seems more likely to me that it would be Henry and Nelson than you know, Nelson and Jarvis, or some combination involving Jarvis.
Both of the guys today shoved.
Yeah, they did.
Both
Jarvis did pitch really well today, and Henry pitched well too.
Last couple of starts as well, or at least a couple of outings for sure.
Yeah, Jarvis has started to pitch well. So yeah, it you know, if Erod does have to miss a few weeks or whatever it is, it's just a matter of plugging in one of those guys, most likely into that extra rotation spot. And then a few weeks from now, hopefully you get Erod back and, you know, this winds up not being a big deal.
We talked about Tommy Henry. Solid today. 3 1/3 innings pitch. No hits, no runs. 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. 44 pitches. A supremely Tommy Henry outing, right? Like, not going to be super flashy. Got the 3 strikeouts, but still no hits allowed. No runs allowed. Like, that's everything you want out of a Tommy Henry outing.
He was good. Yeah, Tommy Henry was good. He talked after the game about what the difference was between his last few starts and how good he was in this one. And here's what he had to say.
I think it had to do, you know, with the sequencing. That was kind of the game plan. That was the plan of the adjustment moving forward. I just felt like, you know, through my first few outings, I wasn't getting a ton of off-balance swings. I feel like people were on time very often. And that's kind of a, you know, a frustrating, exhausting way to pitch. So we felt like that was the biggest area to adjust. And, you know, I'm hoping moving forward that continues to be the case.
I think Tommy Henry might be manufactured by the same plant that produces all of the Orioles players. Oh. Is that right? I don't know.
He's a little bit too tall, right?
Yeah.
Like Tommy Henry's really tall. But he's a pitcher,
so you're going to increase the size based on position, fair. Right? Yeah, you know, that's fair. I don't know. But yeah.
How tall is he?
Like 6'4", six, maybe 6'5". He's really tall. Yeah. Every time I like haven't seen Tommy Henry in a while and then I walk in the clubhouse and he's there or whatever, I'm like, wow. Tommy Henry is really tall.
Is he the tallest of the...
I think he's the tallest of all the like young starters. Fott
looks the tallest.
I'm pretty sure he's taller than Fott, and I think he's taller than... I'm very confident he's taller than Ryan Nelson. He might be the tallest out of all the starting pitchers. He's certainly taller than Zach Gallen, certainly taller than Merrill Kelly, E-Rod as well. So, yeah, I mean, that's how they decide these starting pitcher competitions. They just line up by height and then, you know, that's the way they
that's
do it.
Bryce Jarvis isn't really being considered, right? He's shorter than the other two guys, even though he pitched incredibly well. 3 1/3 innings pitched today for Bryce. One hit, one run allowed, no walks, 3 strikeouts, 9 whiffs in that outing, including 5 on his slider.
Yeah, he was really good. The slider continues to be a weapon. He's still using a cutter. We saw a few more cutters in the game today. It's a little unclear which pitches are the slider and which are the cutter, I think. Technically, Brandon Fott's listed at 6'4". None of these numbers don't make sense to me. Brandon Fott, 6'4", Ryan Nelson, 6'3", Tommy Henry, 6'3". I don't know if I buy that. I feel like Tommy Henry's taller than all of them. I'm gonna file a complaint.
Jesse's gonna go in there with a measuring stick and make sure.
I'm gonna make them all go back to back. We're gonna do all of the various combinations. We're gonna get to the bottom of it.
We'll figure it out.
This is like the first time that like research has been done, and Jesse's like, I don't know if I buy it.
It's there. It's written on a website.
It's real Derek and Damon energy there. Just whatever fits your narrative, Jesse.
Yeah, right. I don't believe Tommy Henry's only 6'3". People can write whatever they want to on the internet. You guys know that. I wrote articles on the internet, but what about Jarvis, though, being considered? I mean, again, we know that this might open up, probably will open up to one of these other guys just if in the meanwhile, right? Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully they just need one of these guys. But should they need to, it feels like Jarvis can't really win that spot.
Yeah, the starter spot, I would lean toward probably not, but he could still make the team as a reliever. We talked about this the other day. Bryce Jarvis is throwing well, and if the D-backs want a guy who can give them some length out of the bullpen, maybe there's a world where all three of these guys make the team, where you have Nelson and Henry in starting rotation spots with E-Rod starting the year on the IL, and then you have Bryce Jarvis opening the year in the bullpen. I think that's very possible. He was really good today. Bryce Jarvis had 9 whiffs.
Yeah.
Just continues to get a lot of swing and miss. The fastball velo up just a smidge from where it was a year ago. He's throwing a bunch of sliders. I think he's just kind of embraced that his slider is his best pitch against righties, and he's going to throw a whole bunch of them. His fastball is, he's kind of had to hide that pitch in the past. It doesn't generally play up to its velocity, which I guess is part of the reason for adding the sinker and the cutter as well. But yeah, I really like what I've seen from Bryce Jarvis, and if he doesn't open the year in the majors, it feels like he could play a pretty big role at some point.
I know the Diamondbacks weren't going to get Blake Snell, and I don't even want to pay attention to his contract or if they could have afforded that or not, because that's like that. I feel like that's a depressing conversation that's going to result in me being sadder than I am right now. But what I will say is that is there any chance that this becomes a situation where Diamondbacks have to reach out and try to find somebody to fill a spot?
For the E-Rod spot, is that what you're saying?
I'm just in general, where they just say, we got to go.
Probably, yeah, probably not. I would be pretty surprised if they did that. There are still guys out there. We touched on this the other day before E-Rod was hurt. We were just talking about if the D-backs could still, with Nelson and Henry maybe struggling a little bit, if that's something you'd look at doing. But I don't really see it. I think at this point, you probably just start the year with what you got. Maybe this means that Slade Ciccone does get stretched out as a starter. I will be curious to see how the D-backs handle him and if this situation impacts that at all. But yeah, they have some depth. They don't have a ton of depth. I think they can withstand one injury in this case.
We said this is what the minor league depth is for. And
yeah,
this isn't going to most likely be the only scenario where one of their starting players gets injured. They're going to have to look to some of these guys that have been kind of fighting either for a backup role or in the case of the pitchers for one of the starting spots to come in and fill that spot. And again, you never know what can happen with your career if you can come in and be an asset to the team, right? Like you just never know what that time, if called upon, that opportunity can do for you. So Tori was asked though about the Blake Snell signing again, because we can't let it go.
He was asked about the Dylan C signing previously.
That's true.
Now we had asked him about the Blake Snell signing, and then when Jordan Montgomery signs with the Rockies, then we'll ask him about that.
Don't do that.
Are you really afraid of me just like doing a reverse jinx on the Rockies signing Jordan Montgomery? Come on now.
they got Chris Bryant too, Derek. What did that do?
You have to play these guys a lot. I don't want that. I don't want that energy.
I don't think the Rockies will be signing Jordan Montgomery, but the Giants did sign Blake Snell.
This is what Tori said about signing Blake Snell.
I'm not surprised whatsoever. Everybody seems to want to come to the NL West for some reason, right? Keep the good players out of here. But we embrace the challenge. The Giants are going to be the Giants. They're going to be a good team without them. They're even better with them, and we know that. So we're going to respect every opponent. We're not going to take anybody lightly, and we're going to go out and play our game, try and do things that we can do. It's just another really good challenge that this team will accept.
He is sick over this. He is absolutely sick to his stomach over this.
He's just trying to smile through the pain.
Yeah, you do that sometimes. I understand. That's what I've done most of my life, but Tori might have jinxed himself with that comment that he made about the Dylan Cease trade, right?
Yeah, when we asked about the Dylan Cease move a few days ago, Tori's words were, "I wish the best players would quit coming to the NLS." And then inevitably, several days later, Blake Snell becomes a member of the Giants. And so Tori was asked if he jinxed himself. And here's what Tori had to say about that.
So I jinxed myself, and everybody's in the NL West.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, is there other leagues? No. Other divisions? Well, come on, let's go.
Oh, he really is sick about it. He's like, seriously, the NL Central is ripe for the picking. What are you guys doing? Why do you keep coming here? Money, that's why. Well, of course, we know he jinxed himself, but today was a good day for the boys out there. Gino hit one of the
very long
biggest
home run.
Fucking home runs I've ever seen someone hit at a spring training game. It felt so unnecessary. Did it reach the concourse?
No, I don't think it reached the concourse.
443 feet, Jesse?
It was long, but I was actually a little surprised it was 443 feet. I think it was like halfway up the berm or something like that.
Oh.
When Gino gets a hold of a baseball, he does get a hold of that baseball, and that baseball goes a long way.
I love it.
And that's Gino Suarez for you. It was also one of the worst pitches that a major league pitcher could throw. I think I'm thinking of Christian Walker's home run, which it felt like Christian Walker like barely even swung the bat. Like he just tapped the baseball and it went over the fence when he homered. That was on just a curveball that was grooved like right down the middle. I don't remember where the Suarez pitch was, but it probably wasn't in a very good spot.
Well, Tori made a lineup change today, moving Gurriel up to the number 3 spot and Gabby down to the number 6 spot.
Yeah, it sounds like he was asked about this before the game and he did acknowledge this is something that he's kind of trying out ahead of the season. Maybe this is the way that the D-backs go when the season starts. Gabby Moreno obviously hit third quite a bit in the postseason, became the team's third hitter every day. We've seen some of that in spring training. And Tori is experimenting with yeah, as you said, moving Gurriel up into that three spot, Moreno down to the number six spot. If it were me, I think I would maybe make it depend on whether you're facing a lefty or righty. Against a lefty, Gabby Moreno hit like 350 last year. You kind of like the idea of him in the three hole against a lefty. But against a righty, Gabby really picked things up toward the end of the year. But for most of the season, for a good portion of the season, he wasn't a very good hitter against righty. So maybe you move him down to the sixth spot and then have Lourdes hit third against righties. But yeah, we'll see how they handle that.
He definitely has to get a good grasp of where he's going to play these guys during different, you know, for different matchups and all of that stuff. And now is the time to try that, try those lineups out and see what he thinks about them. I don't know. I want to see Gabby in that three hole. That's all. I think that Gabriel Moreno is going to be a valuable power hitter for this team, even though that's just my gut feeling and nothing as far as projections are concerned reflect that at all. Apparently he's not going to hit very many home runs at all. What is he going to hit, like 8 home runs? That's what they have him as?
Yeah.
Hate it.
Source, trust me, bro. Right? You're pulling one of those.
Yeah, source, trust Derek, you know. I didn't believe in this team last April, so I guess I'm probably not a good source to trust. But, you know, I don't know. I think Gabby Moreno is going to be a much better hitter this year, and I think he's going to be a power guy. I don't know. We'll see.
It doesn't matter very much. That's the last thing I'll say real quick is – batting order doesn't matter a ton, I don't think. You generally want your best hitters at the top, and the D-backs have that, I think, with Cattell and Corbin Carroll in some order, number one and number two.
Yeah, but
after that, the D-backs just have a lot of pretty solid hitters, like in the 3 through 7 slots, and I don't know if it matters a ton what order they hit in.
When it comes to Gabby and what many felt like he did so well last year, right, was taking what was given to him, right? And not hitting, not being a power guy, but being a guy that tend to get a lot of hits and find the open gaps in the infield and drive the ball through, right? So I just think there's value there as far as him being able to drive in Corbin Carroll and Cattell Marte versus Lourdes, who seemed inconsistent at times as far as when you could rely on him as that player to drive in those runs, right? But you said, Lourdes Gurriel, great hitter. Diamondbacks have a bunch of good hitters in the lineup after that. So it is what it is. It's just, again, I think that we are starting to grow attached to the younger guys, and we want to see them get that opportunity. We want to see Corbin Carroll leading off. We don't want to see him down hitting low in the lineup anymore or any of that kind of stuff in 2024. But
yeah, that was a thing at the beginning of last year, wasn't it? Like Corbin was hitting fifth, I want to say, like fifth or sixth against righties, and then he was hitting seventh against lefties to start the year. And that was like a pretty major talking point there for a few weeks. And Torrey was kind of like, you know, we just want to see him show us a little bit more, and then, you know, maybe we'll revisit it at another point in time. And sure enough, Corbin Carroll did move up in the Diamondbacks batting order before too long.
And Tim is absolutely right. If Blaze doesn't make this team, I can't continue being a fan of this franchise. Feel the same way, bro. And we both should probably prepare to find new teams, because I don't think Blaze is going to make it. And it's not good. It's because they want him to play regularly, just like Jordan Lawler. They want him to get those regular at bats. But anyway, we appreciate you guys being here in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. Of course, we thank you so much for those of you that have subscribed to the channel. If you haven't done so already, maybe consider doing it now. If you do that, you can sign up for notifications and you won't miss any of our shows when we go live. And also drop us a like. Gabby would very much appreciate that as well. Of course, if you are listening on the audio podcasting side, make sure you subscribe over there. Leave us a review. We always appreciate that feedback. Of course, make sure to make baseball more fun with our friends over at BetMGM. Right now, you can download the BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android and sign up using our promo code of PHNX. When you do, you will receive in bonus bets back up to $1,500 if your first wager loses. You place your first wager and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. All you got to do is sign up with that code of PHNX and deposit $10 into your BetMGM Sportsbook account. If the bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. Of course, check out our friends over at the PHNX Bets. That's sometimes Damon, sometimes Shane, sometimes it's Aaliyah. It's kind of wild. So
I did one this week, 2-1.
2-1? Let's go.
Not a big deal.
Let's go. Not a big deal. But he just made people money is all he's saying. And he might make you some more money. So make sure to check out the PHNX Bets podcast. Of course, you can sign up for BetMGM. Use that bonus code of PHNX. Place your first BetMGM sportsbook wager through the mobile app for at least $10. You will receive $1,500 back in bonus bets. If the bet loses, check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IOWA. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Well, if you are here in Arizona and not Puerto Rico, make sure to bank with Desert Financial Credit Union. For more than 84 years, Desert Financial has been Arizona's largest, most trusted local credit union. They got me started on my home ownership journey, and they can help you as well. You can look to Desert Financial for checking and savings accounts, mortgages, loans, credit cards, investment options, and more. Make sure you bank with a financial institution that has your best interest in mind. When you open a free checking account online, you'll get $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200. You got up very early, waited for this baseball game, and the way you got yourself pumped was by watching episode one of Snakes Alive.
I watched the first episode of Snakes Alive, and then I also purchased MLB The Show. And I just had a full on the dawn of baseball season night, and then I regretted everything when I woke up and had gotten 3 hours of sleep. But yeah, Snakes Alive. It was good. It was fun.
It's so good.
I guess they're going every other day.
Yeah, that's what they said. They confirmed, I think, in a comment. There's no official listing, but it sounds like it's going to be every other day.
So Thursday would be episode two.
Will be Thursday. Yep. And episode one got me pumped for the regular season. They did move through last season pretty fast. Episode one already gets you to the playoffs, essentially, right? So they kind of inform you on the expectations a little bit of last year, how good things were, how bad they were in July specifically. But I thought they did an absolutely outstanding job of telling the story. They definitely showed an edited version of Tori's notorious connected and dangerous speech, which I can understand and I'm fine with. And I get it. You can't have all the naughty words we say on this show. But favorite parts, anything stuck out to you? I mean, I did love overall the candid nature of the interviews and stuff. I loved right away how it started out with them telling Tori to look at this camera and stuff like that. I think it was Zach Gallen maybe, but
yeah,
it was a really well done, series of interviews and stuff. And I can't wait to see more of it.
Yeah, it's very well done. Props to the D-backs team. They've been killing it on social with all of this stuff. Really. For as long as I can remember, they've been doing a fantastic job. There's the cliffhanger at the end, right? Which I guess we all know where that's going. The Evan Longoria. Game one of the postseason for the Diamondbacks really was an Evan Longoria coming out party on defense, along with some very well-timed home runs by some of their young hitters as well.
And what Lee says is absolutely right. It brought back all the stress of the Brewers series I'd forgotten about because things did not start in the playoffs like we wanted it.
No.
Motherfucking Yoffs did not start like they wanted. They should have, right? And it's funny how far they went. But looking back on that, I have a distinct memory of, well, that's it. That's it. Closing up shop. Let's just turn. What are we doing here? Let's just go home. Why should we even play the rest of the game?
Things were
so bad to start off that game.
I was finishing off a Cardinal show in here, and you guys were all watching out in the watching area, and everybody was just so sad and dejected when I walked out.
It was Jover.
And I remember I was like, it's so over, guys.
It's so Jover. I did love in the documentary, in the first episode, our guy Ryan Thompson. Ryan Thompson was an incredible interview on the show. And not only that, but I feel like at least I've befriended him. I don't know about Jesse, but when he talked about wanting to do it for the boys, you know what I mean?
Wanting
to bring that,
feeling the hunger of other people in the clubhouse.
Yeah, it was just such a perfect example of that, the whole mantra, right? And rarely in time, I know managers do stuff to get their team pumped, right? And I know sometimes those managers have pre-prepared speeches and, you know, kind of like ideas in mind. And we know Torrey does that too. Like Torrey is not, we talked a little bit about the 108 culture. We know Torrey and the Belgian draft horses. That's something that he definitely loves to talk about. But there's something about the fact that like this, like that, the things Torrey said seems so just natural, right? Like it wasn't pre-planned. Yeah. Like it was just such a moment of, you know, just a sincere, authentic moment where you were just speaking from the heart and saying the things that you didn't care about anything else other than just getting this team pumped and ready for the playoffs. And, you know, and once they got in the playoffs, reminding them about how important that connection between those guys were, you know, was. But Thompson saying this, it's again, it's a reflection of how quickly guys came to this team and adapted to that mantra, to that mindset, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we're gonna see the connected and dangerous aspect of the Diamondbacks come out throughout the course of this thing, I'm sure. I think what stuck out to me most from the first episode is really just how much of a movie game one kind of was in and of itself.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Brandon Pfaadt starting that game for the D-backs. He was not, you know, he had a pretty good second half in the regular season, but it wasn't exactly an ideal scenario that neither Zach Gallen nor Merrill Kelly were available for, you know, the first game of a three-game playoff series on the road.
It was our worst nightmare coming in to, like, when Pfaadt, you know, gave up those runs. It was everything that we dreaded that
exactly
this could be heading into the playoffs, because we knew Gallen and, you know, Kelly had to pitch in those final games of the season to try to get them into the playoffs.
And also just watching back that first inning against Pfaadt, where he just gives up like dinky single after, like he did not get hit hard in that first inning. But the Brewers were, I mean, they were just finding holes. They were just finding ways to get on base, even though they weren't hitting the ball hard. And for Pfaadt to come back, and I think he struck out the side to end that inning, that was incredible. And, you know, Corbin Burnes, like Brandon Pfaadt against Corbin Burnes, like what a crazy pitch matchup that is.
Yeah.
The D-backs eventually getting to Corbin Burnes with Corbin Carroll hitting a 440-foot homer, Ketel Marte following it up with a homer like 20 seconds later. That tied the game, and then it was Gabby Moreno with the first of many dramatic postseason home runs, putting the D-backs ahead with the lead. It was just, I mean, that game in and of itself, we haven't even gotten to the Evan Longoria double play moment and another really important defensive play he made. It was just incredible. There were so many moments just within that first series in Milwaukee. And I think D-backs fans are going to enjoy every moment of this docuseries.
I like the way that they structured it. I like the cliffhanger that makes me not be able to, you know, I can't wait to watch
the cliffhanger.
Next one,
right? That's just good. That's just good. Good movie making right there.
There's also something that I really like, which is Jesse and I are around these players quite a bit. And I feel like this is bringing out a side that we don't even get to see in interviewing them, right? Like some of, like Christian Walker sitting down and talking about them facing Corbin Burnes and their mindset in that moment in that game, I thought was interesting, because we don't really, you know, Christian tends to be like a fairly nice guy. And I'm not saying he wasn't nice, but I'm just saying he was like, this is Corbin Burnes. We knew how dangerous he was. And like, we wanted to get him, you know, like, it's like to hear that and again to share some of those moments that we haven't seen or have heard about up to now is really cool. There are things though that need to be included in this series, right? Like I could watch an entire episode on Alec Thomas planting the flag in Philadelphia. That could be one whole episode, just that moment, you know. But like someone else said, can't wait for like the four home run game. Oh my God, Jesse.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, we've talked off the air a little bit about just the idea of making a docuseries about a postseason run that ended in a loss, right? It's a little weird. I'm not sure that every major league franchise would do this, but the more I thought about it and just watching this first episode, the more it just occurred to me that like this was a story worth telling. This was a story that was really extraordinary and just unprecedented. I mean, just amazing in so many ways, with so many incredible moments along the way, that it kind of justifies the whole series in and of itself. Just all of these moments that there were to capture along the way. So, I'm kind of curious if anyone feels that way, if they like don't want a docuseries made about a you know, a World Series run that ended in a 4-1 defeat. But I think I understand why I haven't really seen much of that at this point.
Some of the best baseball movies end with the team actually losing, right? Like, they don't all end with them winning. Major League, they don't make it. They just, sure, I think, fair. They just win in the first round of the playoffs or a wild card game or whatever. Yeah, it's the first series of the playoffs.
The A's don't win in Moneyball.
So that's right. There's that. There's something to be said about it still being a compelling story. But Damon, anything you want to make sure gets shown in this, considering I know it's probably Jerry P related?
Yeah, when Jerry, after we were down to the Phillies 2-1, and it felt like, was it 2-1 or?
They were down 2-1, but they were also down 3-2. Yeah.
I forget which one it was, but when he was in the locker room and they were asking him, like, how do you guys feel? And he's like, feel like we're going to win the next game. That was leadership.
Yeah, he
fired up. Oh, yeah. That was fire. I remember that. I got pumped by it.
Patrick was like loving that.
Yeah, I remember him in Philly. I think after they were down, I'm not sure. Maybe it was when the series was tied 3-3 going into game 7 in Philly, and Geraldo Perdomo said, there is no like Wednesday. There's only tomorrow. I don't remember which exact day of the week it was, he was really honed in on just the next day. And that was a good quote. Made for a good quote for my story. So I was happy about that. And yes, also indicative of the leader that I think Geraldo Perdomo has become.
I'm trying to think of something else.
No,
I mean, it's like, what can I say? Like the 4 home run game, like that has to be in there. Ending Kershaw's career. That was pretty fun.
the whole Dodgers series, I just can't wait.
Let's just make the Dodgers series.
Yeah, like, can we make episodes. That the documentary? Yeah, that's
let's
fine.
Do more episodes than games in the Dodgers series. Part one of game one.
Well, I know one thing that needs to be included here, Damon. Let's just go. If this isn't in there, this whole series is a failure.
It was for us all year. It was only a matter of time.
Let's fucking go. He's shirtless. I'm shirtless. We're fucking going to the goddamn World Series, Patrick. You think I give a shit right now? Let's fucking go. I mean, that deserves to be part of history. That's like, don't wince at that.
We might grab our pitchforks and torches if they don't put that in.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to put that in.
Yeah. Whatever. I'd be waiting a while on that.
I mean, I blame the champagne, honestly, but I could also blame maybe the OGs. I don't know. But, of course, if you want to maybe have yourself a wonderful celebration like you saw me having there, OGs has launched 2 new products made with live rosin and Rick Simpson oil, the OGs Naturals and the Big OGs, which I've been known to eat whole. It's fine. OG's Naturals are vegan gummies made with live rosin, and they're available in a sweet clementine flavor. And the Big OGs are a mega version of PEG's Raspberry Orange RSO, one of the company's most popular products. It's perforated into 10 slices. I said it right that time, Elise. And each slice is 10 milligrams for a total of 100 milligram THC, or just 100 milligrams in a 1-bite gummy, whatever, however you choose to use it. But to learn more about OG's gummies and where you can find them, head on over to OG'sbrands.com. Elise says that post game was unhinged, and yes, that's probably the best.
See,
way
I don't know
ever.
These things. Like, I didn't go back and watch
you
or listen
Patrick
to any
up
of
with,
these
you
shows.
Have no idea what Patrick had to put
I
up with.
I only know it's what happened best. On the show oh, when man. I was joining from wherever ballpark the Diamondbacks
were very much for the best.
Listening to my probably voice there, is. I think, is a perfect example of what you missed out
you
on.
You could barely speak.
Was
Derek?
That like a 2-hour show?
I mean, the amount of F bombs me and Derek were just letting fly was probably just not okay. Yeah.
I got an email about it. It's fine. But whatever. March Madness is here. And before March Madness starts, of course, you can join in with us at PHNX and our friends at Illegal Pete's for their bracket challenge for free. Prizes for the top 3 finishes include diehard memberships, shirt and gift cards to see, because you need a shirt if you're Derek, shirt and gift cards to the PHNX locker, and Illegal Pete's gift cards. Check out our socials for the link to sign up and get on that now. I think you have to select those tonight or tomorrow morning. So we didn't have a lot of time for that. So get down on that. Of course, also get down on Illegal Pete's, which is, of course, here to bring you a win with their legendary sound check deal. Bring in your ticket stub from any ticketed event and get a draft beer or house margarita for 1 cent, one penny. Illegal Pete's wants to celebrate with you, whether it's a pregame or postgame party. They got you covered on all your game day needs. Must purchase an adult entree to redeem Illegal Pete's sound check deal. Illegal Pete's, your go-to spot for burritos, buddies, beer, and, of course, Damon, who's our People's producer, and we want to thank him, of course, for his wonderful work. You can follow Damon Dog at Damon Dog. That's D-A-W-G. We are Damon's Dogs.
Bark, bark.
We're doing the thing again. But, of course, we are also on Twitter. You can follow us at Cap underscore K-Man with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at PHNX underscore D-backs, but all roads do lead to at PHNX underscore sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Appreciate you guys so much for stopping by. Thank you guys for your time. We'll be back tomorrow. No game tomorrow. 1 p.m. start.
No game tomorrow.
So make sure to join us. We'll probably make some more wild allegations and make Jesse roll his eyes at me a little bit more. But in the meantime, make sure you guys have yourselves a wonderful night. Again, thank you for stopping by. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you don't have to pay your interpreter's gambling debts.